This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
Let's find out what is trending on social media. Edith Hill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Looking forward to our conversation. Before we get into, soft launching new boyfriends, let's talk about some of the videos that are being made at the moment. What's been going on social media?
Oh, there was some good stuff this week, I have to tell you. Now, the thing I'm about to talk to you about isn't brand new, but there have been some new videos circulating in the genre. And this is people making TikToks talking about leaving cults or very insular communities.
Oh, wow.
They are fascinating, fascinating videos.
And what sort of, how long do they go for, these videos? Are they long?
So typically it'll start with a creator making a video saying that they were at one point in a cult. And then, of course, the questions, they just come flooding in because people want to know more. I want to know more, right? And so then they usually respond to questions through video format after that. And occasionally we'll make their own mini series videos talking about all things to do with the process of leaving, talking about their family structures, all of it gets covered.
I imagine this would be fascinating. I could watch it for hours. Have you learned anything sort of about them? Is there something in common about these cults?
Oh, that's a great question. I do watch a lot of documentaries and things like that. So a lot of this and a lot of the language and things wasn't a massive surprise, but it is kind of surprising having that really like personal, intimate element to it. I think a lot of people have ideas about what a cult is, and I think that idea differs for a lot of people. But hearing those really personal stories about how people decided to leave, how people are connected or I guess now estranged from their families, that is something that you can't really prepare yourself for, I guess, because these stories, of course, often are very, very emotional.
And a lot of times people aren't willing to talk about it, so it's great that people are willing to talk about them. I'm always fascinated how they work, how they get people, into them, how you get sucked in and how you cannot leave them. So I will be looking for those. Let's move on to something a little bit more controversial. Tell us about this, Edith.
More controversial than cults, Warren. So the next one is something that I personally have a massive fascination with, to the point that I actually dedicated a large part of my PhD thesis to.
Oh, really?
And this is on family channels. Yes, I had a whole chapter, a big chunky, like 8,000 words, directly on family channels and the ethics of representing children in online spaces.
What's a family channel?
This is very complex. So, oh my gosh, you are talking my language. A family channel is a YouTube channel or an Instagram page or a TikTok page that is dedicated to the everyday goings-on of a family. So typically, it's any combination of people. Family channels also include people who are planning to get pregnant or to adopt, and it's people going down that process of becoming a family, or family channels are, an already existing family unit with any combination of parents, any combination of children, and they record predominantly the lives of their children and how that family functions.
And then everyone can watch it.
Yes. They are very popular. It's a very popular genre on YouTube, family channels, lifestyle vloggers, people who share everything about their families, the back to school hauls, the shopping trips, the lunches, all of that practical kind of stuff. But it kind of gets into that uneasy, unnerving zone where they're sharing the more intimate lives of their family. And this includes, clickbait thumbnails of my daughter got her first period, all that kind of stuff that really enters into that. Well, you are super breaching somebody's privacy with this kind of content.
And so where do the ethics lie here? I imagine it's a bit of a fine line, isn't it? Because have these kids, are they necessarily old enough to say, yeah, you know what, Mum, I'm happy for you to share all this sort of stuff? And should the parents be making that decision?
Well, here's the thing. I'm very cynical in this space, and I just don't believe that it's an ethical action to share a child's life on such a large platform. They can't consent or can't possibly know what being that public to that extent could possibly do to themselves. There are some wonderful researchers who are doing great work in this area from the Centre of Excellence for the Digital Child. It's a research centre based in Australia, and they really investigate this deeply. But from my personal perspective and through my own research, it's a very complex area. A lot of people think, well, you know, I'm a parent and I'm recording my experience as a parent and I have a right to do that, which of course, yes, you do. But as soon as you start including video footage and intimate stories of your child, it's no longer about your experience as a parent. It's really bringing that child's life story into that conversation in a way that they can't understand or understand the ramifications of long term.
We're chatting with Edith Hill, Associate Lecturer in Learning and Teaching Innovation at Flinders University, about the latest on social media. But one particular family channel has gone viral, and tell us about that one.
Yes, so this came up on my For You page on TikTok, I believe 2 days ago, and it's the Alexander family. And this is a family channel that I discovered on TikTok, but they do also have a YouTube channel. And people were a little bit enraged because they were using their child in a branded video only 5 hours after its birth.
Oh my goodness.
And so, yeah, when I say branded video, I mean people are speculating that this was a sponsored piece of content in some way, although they don't seem to have used the correct hashtags and ways to declare that it's a sponsored video. That's a whole other conversation, of course, but there are things that a creator has to do if they're getting paid in some way for making content. But there was some very obvious product placement in these videos, and it's very, very uncanny, very strange to see a mother and her newborn in this really intimate, beautiful moment, but then also seeing products that are very clearly placed there, and how that child is kind of being brought into this, you know, financial interaction in a sense. Yeah, it's really very strange. First moments of their life.
Exactly, 5 hours after birth. I'm making assumptions here and judgments, but I'm just imagining what's that child's upbringing going to be like if products are being placed, you know, and potentially the child's been seen for its monetary value 5 hours after birth. Imagine what it's like as the child starts to grow up.
Well, this is exactly it. And you and me could talk about this for hours, and I'm sure we will over coming weeks because this is such a big conversation. But now, because YouTube has been around for so long, social media has been around for so long, there are many children who are now adults who are coming out and speaking out against their roles in family channels. We know a lot about what acting can do to a child, but there are some laws in place to kind of protect children who are in those environments. But when you think about it, the child of a family channel, they're acting 100%. Their entire life is becoming content that's being produced and being monetized. There's no way to financially protect them currently. The only country that's doing it at the moment is France, that has rules in place to protect the money that child is making. And in a lot of cases, the children and their content becomes the sole income of that family. So if they decide they no longer want to participate, the financial security of their family is at risk. So it's a really uneasy, unethical position to put a child in.
I don't like it, I must admit.
Yeah, I don't either. I love talking about it, love researching it. It creeps me out, if I'm being honest. And it's not a comfortable thing to kind of get into. Once you start thinking about it critically, it's very strange.
Definitely, but it's important that we talk about it. Is this what we term sharenting? Sharenting.
This is where the term sharenting comes from, exactly. Sharenting is the combo of the words sharing and parenting. It's usually used in quite a negative way. When a parent is sharenting, they are oversharing their parenting or their child on social media. There's a lot of reason why people do it. It might be for, you know, wanting to involve other members of the family in the growing up of the children. It could be wanting to receive social support. It could be for collecting memories. Lots of reason, but it's depending on your reason going into it, there is that underlying ethical question in there.
We're chatting with Edith Hill, Associate Lecturer from Learning and Teaching Innovation at Flinders University, about the latest on social media. Edith, let's get to something a little bit more fun, and that is, I need a new boyfriend. How do I get one and soft launch them? What's this all about?
Well, here's the thing. I soft launched my partner when we started dating.
Did you?
Which now, at the time, I didn't realise that that's what I was doing, and I look back and I'm like, oh, God. So soft launching is the opposite of a hard launch. So hypothetically, Warren, you get a new boyfriend tomorrow, right?
Right.
And the first thing you do, post an Instagram selfie of the two of you together, full face, full in the camera. That is a hard launch, my friend.
Right.
That is a, here he is, like here, look at him. Yep. This is us together. This is my partner, right?
Yep.
A soft launch, which is what I did, because I was being sneaky because we worked together at the time, was I would post a picture of me with a coffee, and then in the background, I had blurted out a little bit, you could see another pair of hands, clearly man's hands, holding a cup, right?
Ah.
That was the beginning of my soft launch.
So it's not using artificial intelligence to create a fictional boyfriend as such. It's using, actually got someone there brewing in the background.
I did, but some people on TikTok are playing around with generative AI, with image AI generation, and creating their own boyfriends to soft launch on their Instagram posts. It is a bit of fun. It's a little bit hilarious, but a video went viral this week. It currently has, when I checked this morning, 26 million views.
Wow.
Which we can agree is, it's a hefty number, right? 26 million views, and the title is My Ex Moved On, So I Soft Launched a New Boyfriend. And in the video, the person is using AI tools in Photoshop to recreate pictures and adding in the back of a man in all of their photos.
I love it. I love the thought of having an artificially intelligent boyfriend.
Oh, God, wouldn't that be
that
nice?
I can just switch off.
Honey, if you're listening, I didn't say that.
Does it look realistic?
Oh my God, so realistic. It's ridiculous. So the way this video works, I highly recommend people look it up. It'll be on your For You pages on Facebook like tomorrow because it's going so viral. But basically, you can watch them use the tools and they type in prompts and different pictures will come up. So they'll type in like man's hand on leg or man's hand outstretched or something.
Oh,
and then
I love
they'll
it.
Add in the picture of the hand, move it around, make it look unbelievably realistic. This isn't the Photoshop of the mid 2000s, right? This is some legit stuff and it looks so, so real.
So I could have photos sort of having the coffee like you did, you know, with the hand sort of resting on my hand or something like that. And it's not really anyone. It's just a hand that I've created.
It's just a hand. It's an AI hand.
Oh,
it's
Edith.
Unbelievable.
Love it. Where do we get these tools from?
So there's a lot of different platforms out there. Some are still kind of working out the kinks in their systems. I know we play around with some in the office and have a bit of fun. You can put in images and ask it to change it into certain styles. We like turning each other in the office into like the Victorian woman lounging in the velvet armchair. Very good use of work time, I might add. But there are lots of platforms like Photoshop and other editing software are adding in AI tools to be able to do this kind of work.
Edith, I'm going to have to get onto it. Great to chat with you. We'll talk to you again next week.
No problems, Warren. Have a good one.
You too. That is Dr. Edith Hill, Associate Lecturer in Learning and Teaching Innovation at Flinders University. And you can get your social media update every Wednesday with Edith here on Joy Drive.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.